Good morning, Jim.
Morning, Jim.
All right, Jim. So the Wild lose last night 4-3 against the Carolina Hurricanes. A lot of scoring early in this game, and then nobody scored in the third period. Matt Boldy scored twice for the Wild. Your thoughts on last night's game?
Yeah, you know, if they had gotten off to a reasonable start, this would be a very reasonable loss. They lost to a good team on the road in a tough place to play. It's just that with their circumstances, it doesn't feel very good because they're trying to dig themselves out of a hole. So, you know, they got the offense going. Really, really bad penalty taken by Pitlick. Hit a Carolina player in the head with blindside to the head, ends up getting a major, getting thrown out of the game, and just a dangerous play in a game, a play that hurt his team. Other than that, it was a fairly even game, and they just didn't pull it out. I thought that Gustafson was not particularly good early. I thought he ended up making a lot of big saves over the remainder of the game, but he was pretty easy to score on early. And every time the Wild scored, they seemed to have a defensive letdown and just let Carolina come right back, right through the middle of the defense and score. Just too many easy goals. It looked like a college hockey game where the offensive skill is just at a way higher level than the defensive play or the goaltending play. It just the goals they gave up, they just made it way too easy on Carolina. So they finally score some goals, and the defense really lets them down. It just has not been a good defensive year for this team, which is really disappointing given that they have a lot of defensive talent.
Jim, they'll play at the Islanders tonight, so back-to-back. I would assume that we're going to see Wallstedt in that.
I would think we'll see Wallstedt tonight. That's probably a good thing. And they should – I mean, it's on the road, and second night of back-to-back, that makes it difficult. But in terms of quality of play, they should have a chance to win this one.
Jim, the Vikings are going to play against the Ravens on Sunday. We got some good news on the injury report. Aaron Jones was limited yesterday, so is he on track to play, do you think?
He's been trending that way the whole time. A veteran running back doesn't really need a lot of practice, so you kind of knew they were going to give him Wednesday off. So I expect him to play, and he seemed to make a big difference on Sunday in Detroit. He's just really smart, intuitive, versatile back. He's a great support system and one-man support system for a young quarterback. He can pick up a blitz. He can catch the ball out of the backfield and make a big play. He's smart. He's going to make the right reads. He's a big deal. And let's see, the rest of the injury report. Darrisaw took another Thursday off. I don't know if we should read into that anything to that or not. He's coming off a game where he played a complete game and played well, and he practiced on Wednesday. My guess is they're just giving him some rest. Redmond's limited. I would expect him to play. Metellus is limited. He usually finds a way to play. Ham trending toward playing. Fry's trending toward playing. Josh Oliver didn't practice. Okuda didn't practice. I would guess that Okuda and Oliver are the only people who are certain to be out.
Okay. So Gopher football is on bye this week. Their next game is against Oregon. Having a couple of byes in the season, is that a good thing for college football players?
Oh, it's great for players. College football is such a weird sport. There just aren't many meaningful games. And it might be better for the sport if they played virtually every week, but these are young bodies. I think it's good that they get a break here and there. And you can watch other college football, so it's not a big deal.
Jim, the Timberwolves are going to play at home against Utah tonight. How close to 100% do you think Anthony Edwards is?
I think he's healthy. I don't think he's in game shape. And he's just going to have to play games to get in game shape. There's no substitute for it. So he looked very rusty and a step slow against a very good New York team. And I would guess he's going to look 10% better tonight.
Naz Reid certainly has been coming off the bench for the team and been contributing quite a bit. What do you think about his performance and the performance of the bench players?
It's been weird. Naz has had moments. He hasn't been really the dominant sixth man that we're accustomed to seeing. He's had good stretches, but he just hasn't been particularly consistent. I thought he's okay the other night. Listen, they need him to be an impact player, especially with Nikhil Alexander-Walker gone and DiVincenzo in the starting lineup. He is the bench right now. You know, he's the one guy you know is going to get a lot of minutes. He's the one guy, basically, six starters. You know, Finch always said last year that he felt like he had eight starters, and it was just a matter of who was going to play when. This year, they really have six starters, and those six starters are going to get a lot of minutes. And Naz is a key player offensively, defensively, three-point shooting, you know, cohesiveness, all those things. They need him to play well. And, you know, he hasn't been great. He hasn't been lousy. They just need more out of him.
Jim, the Twins have cut some players, including Jose Miranda. This is the end of the line for him as a Twin?
Yes. Kind of sad. Really nice young man. Of course, he had the Hamilton Lin-Manuel Miranda connection. He's his cousin. Really nice guy. Not particularly athletic. He was one of those guys who had to hit to be a major league player. And if you remember, was it 2 years ago? He had the incredible hitting streak where he got on base like, I don't know, I can't remember how many times in a row. It was ridiculous. And it just shows you how quirky baseball is. You know, if you saw an NFL player or an NBA player go on a historic run of scoring or producing, it would be an indication that person was a great player. Jose Miranda did things that like Willie Mays and Ted Williams and Babe Ruth and, you know, Hank Aaron never did. And 2 years later, they cut him. You know, he couldn't get back to the big leagues after he went back down. So yeah, he had some injuries. But I just think it shows you what a mental game this is, that he just never, once he kind of had his slump, a major slump, and got sent to the minors, he never found what allowed him to be dominant for that short period of time. That's why baseball is different than every other sport.
Jim, what are your thoughts on LaTroy Hawkins joining the Twins bullpen staff?
They could not have made a better hire. He's probably my favorite person I've ever covered. Great human being, great teacher, very real, very down to earth, tons of knowledge, just a great human. He's the best. They just couldn't have made a better hire.
What kind of impact can that role, what can he have?
Well, bullpen coach is generally not an impactful role. Well, I won't say that. It really depends on the guy. Like Rick Stelmazik was, you know, Twins bullpen coach for a while, and then he was kind of TK's right-hand man for a while, and he was a big part of the organization. But I guess he was more of a bench coach than a bullpen coach. LaTroy will be great at it because he has this sense of calm, and he's going to be out there in the bullpen with these young kids that are going to be breaking in. And he's just going to be able to calm them down and put the right thoughts in their head. Now, it doesn't automatically translate to great performance. You still have to have talent. You still have to do it yourself. Nobody can do it for you. And you still have to think the game yourself when you're on the mound. But I just think he's going to have a great effect on young players, and not just relief pitchers. I mean, he's going to – most direct impact will be to relief pitchers because he spent 20 years as a reliever in the major leagues. But he's going to be a great person to have around the organization on a daily basis, a great person to have around every young player. I think he's probably going to be great for Royce Lewis. He knows Royce really well. And I just think he's going to be somebody that players can go to other than the manager. But it's just weird. It's weird going to your boss for help, let's be honest, in any industry, right? You don't really want to go ask your boss for too much. LaTroy's going to be the guy that everybody feels comfortable talking to.
Yesterday we touched on, you know, free agency. It's hard to say whether or not they're going to spend money. But as far as young players, who are some young players that maybe didn't have opportunities this year that you foresee having opportunities this next year?
I mean, a lot of the names are exactly the same. I mean, they need Royce Lewis to be a star. They need Brooks Lee to hold down shortstop at least for a while until somebody else comes along if he's not going to be the long-term answer there. They need Kiesel to stay healthy at second base. They need to find somebody to play first base. Maybe it's Cody Clemens is the fill-in. You know, I do like the way Cody plays the game. I don't think he should be an everyday player on any team that's to be taken seriously. But he's a nice guy to have in your roster. I don't think they're going to be able to go get. I mean, we can throw out the big names. I don't see them going getting any of the big names. We did on our Chim Music podcast, Roy Smalley was saying he'd love to see Bo Bichette come here as either a second baseman or first baseman. They're not going to get Bo Bichette. I threw out Jorge Polanco. I don't think Seattle's going to let Jorge Polanco go. But if Jorge Polanco wanted to come back, he'd be a really nice fit as a first baseman DH who can even bat third every day. But, you know, as far as the young kids, they basically need the current group of young hitters who have completely collapsed the last two summers to produce a few mainstays. They're not all going to stick. They need some of them to stick. And then they need the next wave to take them over the top. And that's Walker Jenkins, Emma Rodriguez, Tate as their catcher in the future, Culpepper as a potential shortstop or at least a bat. So they kind of need to get enough out of this wave that then they need the next wave to be really good.
All right, Jim, what do you got in your podcast?
We do have the Chin Music Show up. Really good episode with Lavelle on the hiring process and Roy on on everything, basically. We have the Jeff Diamond's Vikings and NFL Insiders out. We have the Viking Update Show up on YouTube and via audio. We have the John Krasinski Show up about decisions they're making on the Timberwolves. We have Don Mitchell's interview show with Andrew Dukowitz, who covers a lot of women's sports and the Timberwolves in the Twin Cities. And everything's at TalkNorth.com or on your favorite podcast app.
All right, Jim, thank you. We'll talk to you again on Monday. Have a good weekend.
Great. Thanks, Jay.
It's Jim Suhan, Star Tribune sports columnist, joining us each weekday morning at this time. Follow him on Twitter at Suhan Strib. Check out his latest column in the Star Tribune or his podcast at TalkNorth.com. If you missed it earlier, the winner of Dream Getaway number 88 is Donna Lundgren from Randall, Minnesota. Congratulations to Donna. She wins Dream Getaway 88. Thanks for our sponsors for making it possible. Luxembourg Feed Services, Burst Travel, Schwebel Getz and Seaman, Sox Rapid Car Wash, Legacy Upfitters in Wade Park, and Four Seasons Builders. We start code words for Dream Getaway 89 on Monday. News from ABC is next.